Welcome to the Isaka Podcast. Isaka is celebrating its 50th anniversary in 2019. In our 50th anniversary series podcasts, we are exploring some of the major themes that have impacted Isaka's professional community over the past 50 years, and that will do so in the future. On today's episode, we're joined by Kristen McCabe, Senior Director of IT Security with the Home Depot, and also the Home Depot's former IT Audit Director, as well as a past Isaka Board Director. We'll be discussing the future of the IT audit field. Kristen, thank you so much for being with us today.
No problem. Thanks for having me, Jay.
To get going here, can you provide a bit of background on your time in the IT audit field and your observations on how IT audit has changed the most during your time in the field?
Sure. I've been in internal audit at the Home Depot for a little over 14 years, and 12 of those years has been spent in the IT audit area. I've obviously really enjoyed it to have spent that much time in one place. Certainly have some perspective on the changes over those past 12 years. I think most obviously have been in the security space. When I started out working in IT audit was just when Sarbanes-Oxley was coming into the picture, and you were very focused on general controls and implementing those, making sure that we had good documentation and formalization around that. And very quickly thereafter shifted to the focus on information security and then cybersecurity. And that has obviously been the big focus for us for the past few years. So I think from my perspective, the biggest change has been that. And also coming with that, the higher expectations for IT auditors when it comes to technical knowledge and technical skills and the ability to facilitate some more technical audits than we were used to in the past.
You touched on those increased expectations. Along those lines, how does the rate of change in technology most challenge the work of IT auditors?
I think at the Home Depot, what I've seen is a need for IT auditors to kind of think on their feet a little bit because of the pace of change in our technology environment. We have seen introduction of a lot of new technologies that we're not always extremely familiar with right out of the gate. So it requires us to apply knowledge and learnings that we've gained in other technology areas to quickly assess risk, identify control gaps, areas needing attention or opportunity, and to help the business determine the best approach to address those quickly enough such that it's not an issue for the company. So as such, we have had to find talent in the IT space, IT audit space, who are comfortable learning on their feet and quickly getting up to speed, asking questions, seeking out knowledge, using external resources where necessary to make sure that they are well-informed, and not an IT auditor who is sitting at their desk performing a technology audit using a checklist of controls that's something they assess for every technology area. So that has been a challenge because that is certainly a skill set that's difficult to identify in the interview process. You know, we've had to kind of be patient and wait for the right people to come along. However, as we have identified those people, it certainly made us more effective from an audit standpoint. It has allowed us to partner more closely with the business. It has gained us some credibility because our team is willing to put in the time and effort to learn about the technologies and also to make valid, valuable recommendations, understanding the scope and nature of the technology and the business or IT team's perspective, and take into consideration all of the other requirements like compliance, regulatory risk, things like that, really allows us to add value to the technology team.
What type of feedback are you hearing from your colleagues in the industry about the impact of emerging technology areas such as AI and data analytics, and how that will shape IT audit going forward?
I'll have to be quite honest. I haven't really conversed a lot about AI or anything like that with my colleagues outside of the Home Depot. At this point, we are evaluating the potential impact of AI and RPA technologies on our company's controls and compliance and things like that. Obviously, as we introduce more automation into our manual processes, there is a different risk associated with that from a control standpoint that we are ensuring we're on top of, and that we enable the business to make the right decisions when it comes to automation of financial processes. Outside of the Home Depot, I do think that AI is looked at as a potential disruptor where we have opportunities to leverage it to gain efficiencies and be more effective and perhaps even from an audit standpoint, perform more holistic audits that give us more thorough, accurate results than we are able to get from sampling and things like that. However, it's not something that, I'll be honest, I've conversed with, you know, a lot of people outside of the company with about at this point. I think it's still somewhat of a new area to most companies, and we're still getting our feet wet. Once we see how it affects our own companies is when you'll probably start seeing IT audit leaders talking to each other about what to do next.
Are there some other key technologies that auditors will need to stay on top of in the coming years?
If I'm thinking about it from the perspective of the Home Depot, we are heavy into the cloud at this point, and I know that's a topic that's been around for a long time, but I think we're seeing, at least here at Home Depot, we're seeing our company use it a little bit differently than they were in the past. So just making sure that the IT audit team can keep up with understanding how the company is using the cloud and what risks that actually presents. I think there sometimes is a misunderstanding or misinterpretation of the value or the risk mitigation that the cloud brings. And we've certainly seen some individuals' perceptions on that be incorrect based on the type of services they are using in the cloud. So certainly that is something that we are heavily involved in, trying to gain more knowledge on so that we can add the most value possible in an area where the technology team is investing quite significantly. The other area that we have seen our technology team moving toward is more automation, agile development, and automation in the deployment process for changes. So it has required us to really reevaluate our control framework as it relates to change management and methodology, and think through new controls or enhancing existing controls to accommodate the changes in the way the development process is working today. And obviously, with that shift to Agile comes a much larger volume of changes. Certainly required some creativity and partnering together to make sure that we didn't implement controls that were so, you know, bureaucratic that they took too much time and were not enabling the IT team to be as efficient and effective as they wanted to be, but also making sure they understood the need for us to have strong controls and be able to ensure that all of the changes being made to our production environment were approved. Those are two areas that our team has had to spend quite a bit of time on recently, and I would imagine other technology areas are doing the same thing. From my conversations with colleagues outside of the company, certainly the cloud and agile development are two hot topics right now for audit teams, and making sure that they can add perspective to their part of the technology companies to make sure that they don't miss anything and create risk for the company that they weren't aware of.
You're a big advocate for IT auditors being brought into projects during the planning phase. Why is that so important as we go forward?
The reason I think that's so important is we have seen the significant benefit here at the Home Depot of that type of a partnership early on in the project lifecycle, meaning the project team is a lot more successful when it comes to evaluating risk, considering risk, and implementing the right controls. I think probably most everyone has been through an experience where something has been deployed and either the controls didn't operate as they were expected, or, you know, perhaps controls weren't properly considered and there's their need to go and retrofit the solution to accommodate the control requirements. And that is an incredibly painful process, you know, for everyone involved, puts the company at risk, it makes the executives uncomfortable. It creates pain for the audit team because they're always looked upon as the ones who either are forcing the team to do something they didn't really think they needed to do, or the audit team's always making us do something that's after the fact. What we've seen is when we identify initiatives that are going on in the technology organization that have enough significance to the company that it necessitates or even makes sense for our team to spend more time on it in the early phases of the project, and we reach out and we offer our assistance up front, that is incredibly well received from the project team. And it enables us to ensure the solution goes live with the right controls, but it also enables us to spend time with the technology leaders that are working on the project to help them understand risk and controls so that when they work on a future project, they will either engage us early because they had a positive experience doing that the last time, or perhaps they will have enough knowledge or information to facilitate that type of control implementation themselves. I feel really strongly about that, and I also think it gives the IT audit team a significant amount of credibility with the technology leaders, because they are viewed as more than just an auditor. They're viewed as a value-added partner, somebody who can add to their projects in areas that perhaps their team may not be as skilled or as knowledgeable. And as auditors, while we may not necessarily be looking for a new opportunity immediately, certainly having those partnerships and those experiences can lend itself to future career opportunities in other areas of the company. I think that being an audit gives you really interesting perspective on the company, and having the skill set that we have understanding risk and controls is an invaluable skill set for a business leader to have. To be able to develop partnerships with technology leaders who may hire you for roles in the future and you already have that skill set that then builds an immediate value add to that leader's team. I just feel really strongly about that. I think it is incumbent upon our IT audit teams to think about that and sort of take initiative for that instead of sitting back and waiting for the project team to come to us. It's something we know is valuable. It's something we know is needed. And oftentimes, you know, we get so busy with our existing responsibilities that we tend to forget that that's an opportunity for us as well. I think it's something where the team should sit down perhaps at the beginning of every year when the strategic plan is developed and pick out a few initiatives that seem significant enough to plan your involvement in, and then go seek those options out with the technology leaders.
And do you expect that to be the case as more and more technology-driven projects are initiated by organizations?
I would hope so. I mean, like I said, we don't have a large pool of IT audit resources here at the Home Depot, and we certainly have primary responsibilities to execute the audits that we have on our plan and perform our Sarbanes-Oxley testing. However, that said, we definitely have some capacity to support major technology initiatives. And what I have found is if we don't do it on the front end, if it's a significant enough initiative, we're going to end up having to put the time in on the back end in testing or in findings management or something like that. I would prefer that I attempt to schedule my team's time to accommodate a few of those more significant initiatives up front. While I definitely think the volume of technology initiatives will continue to be high, I think there's going to always have to be a criteria used to determine what makes the most sense for the IT audit team to engage in. And perhaps there's some opportunity to create some standardized documentation that can be passed around to other project teams where you don't have a specific resource to lend to their team. There's definitely other creative ideas that we've had. We haven't necessarily implemented any of them yet. We've created a few placemats, is what we call them, to help project teams understand the types of risks that they could be looking for, the types of controls they should be considering, how to determine when things are or are not in scope for certain compliance requirements. Perhaps some additional standardized documentation like that could be shared. And then we also have certain communication channels that lend themselves to information sharing that might be beneficial for us to consider in the future so that we can support a broader audience of projects. Things such as Slack we have in our company, which allows you to get a response on something out to a pretty big audience very quickly. If an individual were to ask a question about risk and controls as it relates to a project that you don't have an IT auditor staffed on or engaged with, perhaps you could answer that question and that information could get out to many people all at one time. Certainly other creative ways to engage and make sure that information that you have is getting out there, but I don't see at this moment the Home Depot's IT audit team size growing any. Until that happens, I think we're still always going to be limited by that capacity to actually participate in those projects.
How important is the training and continued skills development piece for the IT auditors of the future, given that dynamic technology landscape?
I definitely think training and continuous, like I was saying earlier, learning on your feet and being an active learner is really important. Training sounds very formal to me. I do think that there is a space for that in every IT auditor's toolkit. However, learning happens most effectively on the job in situations where the information you're being presented with is relevant to you and you can actually put it into practice pretty quickly. I think that's how you learn the best. We actually encourage our team to seek out learning or information that's relevant to the current audits that they're working on wherever it's possible. That could include benchmarking with other companies where they have been through a similar audit or a similar technology initiative as we are going through. That can include seeking out information from a third party that we partner with to provide us with documentation they have. They have so many subject matter experts in so many different areas that often it takes maybe an hour or two meeting to get the knowledge or information that you need in order to get up to speed on something that you are not familiar with. We've also reached out to third parties that are providing us with software to ask their audit and controls teams to come and talk to us about the software, help us understand what we should be considering. We've done online learning from some of those companies as well. So there are so many different options, but I think that that type of learning is done best, again, when it's relevant. We typically try to work with that model. The great news about that is that allows us the capacity to plan our training a little bit more frequently throughout the year so that it doesn't take a ton of time up from our schedules throughout the year. So it's a lot more relevant. It's a lot more palatable to be in a training as it relates to an audit that's going on currently or is going to be going on very shortly versus training that you may or may not use the content of for a long period of time. So we've had a lot of success with that. It's definitely something that we're going to continue doing in the future.
To finish up today, what excites you most overall about the future of the IT audit profession?
I think it goes back to what I was saying earlier. I'm really energized by my team right now and their desire to learn more, do more, see more, and ultimately be more for the company. I feel like we are engaged in a lot of the right conversations. We have relationships with a lot of the right people. We are getting a lot of attention from an IT audit perspective because of the value that we're adding. That is incredibly important right now to be seen as somebody who can be trusted, who is looking to protect the company, who has the company's best interests in mind. We have seen a lot of executive attention on some of the audit work that we're doing because we have put into practice some of the things that I was talking about earlier. I think that it's just a great time for IT auditors to ramp up their visibility to their company's leadership by seeking out opportunities to add value. I think it's a really exciting time. I was actually just thinking today on my drive into work how lucky I am to be involved in IT audit at a time where technology is where it is right now, because it's so critical to the company, yet it does present such a good amount of risk to companies that just puts IT audit right in the realm of significance. I'm really excited about what that's going to look like in the next few years and certainly where the profession is going to go.
All right, Kristen, thank you so much for sharing your insights with the ISACA podcast audience.
No problem, Jay. Thanks so much again for having me, and I look forward to the opportunity to speak a little bit more in the future.
That's our program for today. For more resources and insights on the future of IT audit, visit www.isaca.org/future of IT audit study. And for more on ISACA's 50th anniversary, visit www.isaca50.org.